All right. Hello. Welcome to another podcast, Manna. I am Pastor Jeff Glenn, and it's my pleasure to take you through the Word each week. We have been in Genesis, and so we are going to finish up chapter 31, which is verses 13 through 55. So last week I mentioned that God was positioning Jacob between a rock and a hard place. Now, usually when we think of the rock scripturally, we think of Jesus, but, Psalm 18, the Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer, my God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. And so that's pretty scriptural. But for today, I'm just using it as a figure of speech, meaning, you know, you're put into a position with no real good outcome, and it's kind of pressing in and dangerous. And so, as always, be sure to read through these verses here, 13 through 55, so that you can follow along. And as we begin, we see that right off the get in verse 13, God reminds Jacob who he is. And he says, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land, and return to the land of your family. So immediately God is reminding Jacob of who he is and the history that they've shared together. And so he reminds Jacob that he was the God of Bethel. And if you remember, this was that encounter where Jacob had the vision of the ladder, and Bethel means the house of God, meaning that God is in this place. And so God had revealed himself to Jacob there. And Jacob made a vow to this one that had revealed himself to Jacob, that he would be his God. And as part of this vow, that he would pay 10% as a tribute or an acknowledgement of this one who would be his God. Now, God had seen in the story where we pick it up today, where Jacob had been mistreated by Laban, and he calls him to return home. And as Jacob is making these plans, Leah and Rachel, rightly so, they kind of are upset about their plight, but they also get to experience the reality of their marriage, this idea that two becoming one, and what affects the one will affect the other. And so the consequences of Laban and Jacob's fallout, this tension that's growing between them, it will affect them just as much as when they were prospering before this time of tension. And so they're dealing with that as normal people would that go through different difficult times. And while Laban was away, they packed up and they got out of Dodge. And this here that we see a curious verse that indicates that Jacob, or at least not all of Jacob's house, had kept this vow that we remember back at Bethel. And so this was the vow that Jacob vowed, that the Lord would be his God. And so what it reminds us of is that individually, Jacob and Leah and Rachel, they each had to make that choice for themselves to honor the Lord as God. So we remember then Joshua's declaration, which reads, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And so we can kind of think, well, isn't that a household declaration? If Jacob made this promise, why didn't it carry over to his wives? And we saw that as before. As individuals, we each need to make that decision. And when Joshua made this declaration, it was a challenge for the people to search their own motives as to who they would serve. And a few verses later, we see that indeed those people did indeed choose to follow the Lord. Which brings us to verse 19, verse here. Now Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's. And so Rachel regarded her father's household idols over the Lord. And Jacob was completely unaware of this, but nonetheless, it would still become a source of great drama and tension. You know, and if it was in a Hollywood movie, You know, there would be close-up of faces, you know, with tense looks and dramatic music and beads of sweat coming from people's foreheads as Laban came into the camp after he caught up with them and was searching through the tent looking for his household idols and anything else that they had stolen. And so as he rides into this camp where Jacob and his family are dwelling, he accuses Jacob of stealing. And of course, Jacob, not knowing what had gone on with Rachel's covetous thievery, he answers with righteous indignation. And he challenges Laban to go and search anything, anywhere of anything that might have been Laban's that was taken. And Laban does so. And so Jacob was highly offended to have been accused of thievery. And Laban was also filled with righteous indignation and wrath because he had been robbed. So he'd been robbed of these household idols. And he also had the added grievance that Jacob had absconded with his daughters and sons and servants and what he viewed as his livestock and other possessions. And so, but we do remember that Jacob earned those as wages. And so a good portion of chapter 31 deals with this back and forth between Laban and Jacob over this growing hostility that's at risk of boiling over into something more except for the Lord's intervention. And we see that in verse 24. But God had come to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said to him, "Be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad." And so he's basically saying, kind of watch what you're saying here. Watch your tone, those things that might get you into trouble with me for the way that you treat Jacob. And Laban, although he was quite upset and made accusations and there was this back and forth of accusations of stealing his gods, nonetheless, there was no further escalation beyond that. And in fact, Laban suggested that they enter into a covenant because essentially they agreed to disagree about the whole situation. And so Jacob and Laban enter into this covenant at Laban's suggestion. And as part of that, he's also showing concern for his daughters. He doesn't want Jacob to mistreat them, and he doesn't want Jacob to take other wives, which would diminish their being able to be taken care of. And so in this place, they pile up a heap of stones and make another altar, which essentially establishes this boundary. And what the agreement is, or the covenant is that Jacob would not go past that boundary back into the land where Laban was at, and Laban would not go towards the land that Jacob was going in further pursuit of him. Essentially, they were establishing this boundary. And so this is where we see that Jacob finds himself literally between a rock or a heap of stones and a hard place, because he's got no other place to go but back to his homeland, because now we know that he can't go back into Laban's territory because of the covenant and the hard feelings that exist between he and Laban and the potential for violence and danger. But also Esau awaits back in his hometown. And there's this uncertain fate with Esau, too, because he was told by his mom to flee for fear of his life. But now God is calling him back into that uncertain danger zone. And so it may feel like you're caught between a rock and a hard place sometimes. But, you know, might I suggest, and could you prayerfully consider that maybe it's God that has led you there, not for the purposes of any kind of punishment or anything, but maybe for a place of blessing, you know, a place of refinement, and a place of getting to know Him a little better, which we'll see that next week as well. And so until next week, stay encouraged and stay in the Word.